The Holy Gospel according to John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Mother, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Your pastor is struggling with a cold, so my apologies. Have you ever missed a joke before and to have it explained to you? Kind of embarrassing, huh? Abby's Grandma Carol has quite a sense of humor, being from Queens, New York, and has many funny statements that have gone down in family history. But Grandma Carol famously never seems to get a joke that's told by another person, especially by Abby's Uncle Marty, who is also quite a jokester, but perhaps in a very different way than Grandma Carol. Uncle Marty will make some comment at a family gathering while everyone will laugh, and Grandma Carol will say in a New York accent, "Wait, what? I don't get it, or I didn't hear." And then someone, usually Abby's Aunt Sue, will have to explain the joke to Grandma Carol. It is a little bit embarrassing. It really is annoying missing out on a joke, I'll admit, especially when the joke is making fun of you. Of course, this never happens to me, ever, especially when I'm at men's breakfast on Wednesdays. Never, ever, ever. And it may or may not surprise you that there are a lot of jokes, actually, social commentaries throughout the entire Bible. The book of Jonah, perhaps the most famous joke, is written in the style of an ancient comedy, pointing out the hypocrisy of ancient Jews' actions toward their enemy, the Babylonians. Well, today, too, we are in the midst of reading a joke within the Gospel of John, a joke that most contemporary readers pass over. This is to say, most probably Jewish leaders and priests of the ancient world would pass over it as well, which is good because it is calling a lot of them out. So let's examine this a little bit further. Jesus turning water into wine. This is one of the most famous of all of Jesus' sayings, right? It seems even most non-Christians have heard of this one before, but are we really familiar with this story? Pastor and blogger, Pastor Eric Fistler of the Pulpit Fiction podcast that I tune into quite a bit, comments, quote, "Reading this story reminds me a lot of what I know and that I don't know a lot about this story." There's this weird exchange between Jesus and his mother, Mary. There's this very non-climactic part of Jesus telling the steward, Just draw the wine out of the jar. It seems like, you know, if you would expect Jesus turning water into wine, you would at least like expect him to bless it or something. Then there is this very humorous but true statement of everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk, but you have kept the good wine until now. The entire story, to me, puts a little bit of us in the shoes of Abby's Grandma Carol, saying, wait, what? I don't get it. So, what is the point? Jesus likes a good party? Good thing the wine is good? I think every biblical story can have, of course, more than one point, which of course is why we have Bible studies. But the point that I want to focus on this morning has much more to do with numbers and jars than it has to do with wine. Let me explain. Here is a pivotal thing that I tell our Thursday evening Bible study, which is going through the entire Gospel of John, by the way, which you all are invited to. Next one is at Meg Henderson's house on the 31st of January at 6:30. And that is this. The Gospel of John never just puts numbers into the text willy-nilly. Excuse me. It never puts the numbers of text willy-nilly. Unlike the Gospel of Luke, who seems a little bit more loose with his numbers, John always has a very specific point to make. For instance, on the third day, there was a wedding. For most ancient and hopefully modern Christians, this should be a clue. It points to Jesus saying in the next chapter of the gospel, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up." For the Gospel of John, this isn't just a wedding party on the third day. This is a resurrection story, a story of new life. And then we have this. Now, standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, just holding 20 or 30 gallons. Now, for us modern readers, we might think jars for purification at a wedding party? Well, that's kind of weird, but whatever. But for an ancient Jew, reading this statement would be borderline absurd. Because you see, these jars were usually placed not at a wedding party, but at the entrance to the Jewish temple, where worshipers would wash and clean before presenting themselves at worship. Purification was seen by many in the ancient world as incredibly important, especially in Judaism. For after all, not only did Jews make a point of being clean, but living as purely as possible. For example, eating only certain kinds of meat, which was prepared in a very specific way. Jewish leaders in the time of Jesus wrote and spoke about again and again and again how Judaism represented God's chosen, pure people, even in the midst of occupation by the Romans. And then you have something even more weird. There were six jars. Six. Why six? Well, six is a very important number in the ancient world, believe it or not, but maybe not for what you think. Six was about as unwhole, impure, broken down as you could possibly get. From pagan mythology to Greek academia, six was representative of an unwhole resolution. In fact, we loosely still hold on to this very ancient symbol even today, of six, of course, with the sign of the devil, right? The sign, 666. Thus, we have the joke. The Jewish leaders, in all of their hype, are not as pure as they think they are. They don't measure up. They fall short. In fact, if you didn't get the joke from that, then maybe Jesus makes it doubly clear by doing what in the purification jars? Making them not full of clean water, but wine. An insult of all insults, in many ways. But is this it? Is all Jesus doing here ripping ancient Judaism down? Well, no, I don't think so. Remember, this is a resurrection story as well. What makes this a resurrection story, I believe, is a verse that actually our lectionary cuts off, which is unfortunate. The next verse, after verse 12, after our gospel story ends today, is this. After Jesus went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers and sisters, and his disciples, and they remained there for a few days. This isn't just any wedding. This is a wedding where a new family of faith is created. A family based not on purity or status, like the warped interpretation of Judaism the leaders of the temple were proclaiming, but a new way of living in Christ. So what does this story remind us of today? Maybe that we aren't as pure as we think, and the wine of the new life always needs to be drawn out. On August 28, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King stood on the Capitol steps and said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all people are created equal." Have we gotten there? Are we living this pure dream? Well, some people think so. In fact, this way of thinking led to the striking down of major portions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act and other protections for minorities, with one justice of the Supreme Court writing triumphantly, "Blatant discriminatory evasions of the federal decrees are now rare." Just this last week in Bozeman, a message was written on the window of a car owned by an African-American resident which said, "We are watching you, ..KKK. Another occurred a few days ago in a Missoula grocery store where a teacher at the Missoula International School was handed some soap and told it was perfect for him. This person said, "Just keep rinsing it until your skin comes off." This teacher, whom this person was speaking to, was from Venezuela. Perhaps the six purification jars still stand in our world today. The joke is on us. On the eve of this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I think we, especially in Missoula, need to be reminded that white privilege still reigns in this world, and it is easy to forget that. It is easy to forget due to the size and relative small population of Montana, how our country and society fall quite short of King's dream. We need, then, to have the joke played on us to make us remember this. But we also need to remember the third day. The third day. This story isn't here to rip us down completely and leave us out to dry in the cold. It is here to also say and to give us a calling to help create a new family. Let us be the movement forward for King's dream and see and treat all people, no matter what race they are, as beloved, valued children of God. This is the dream, that if we don't see the joke as on us, we won't get to work. May the powerful and mysterious calling of Christ move us to see our faults and carry us deeper into resurrection and new life for all. Amen.